This is PodTech News. I'm Jason Lopez at the Interop Conference in Las Vegas, Nevada. Cisco CEO John Chambers delivered the morning keynote on what is ostensibly the first day of the trade show. It actually started yesterday, but the exhibit floor opened today. He says the world is on the verge of the kind of connectivity that is seamless yet powerful, citing the example of the data services that could enable basketball fans in an arena to access data and create content quickly and easily during a game. Chambers said we should watch Cisco. He says such IT capabilities are to the point of being real and not just science fiction.
There are only a few applications that the user automatically sees and says, I understand it. It's our ability to understand our own business and then be able to understand the business problems that our business partners face and then say, how do you address them? You combine what we've just talked about today with three major trends that are going on in the world today, driving business changes. First, globalization that at a faster speed than probably any of us anticipated. The second is mobilization, fixed and wireless. It's also the capability to do this virtually. You combine those and you all of a sudden suddenly see both an opportunity, but a complexity occurs. So it increases how this occurs. We will probably, and somebody over here talked earlier about miniaturization of devices, we will get to the point where we have 6 or 7 or 8, not just devices under our control, but perhaps even on our body over time. But to do that, miniaturization plays a huge key, but they will become very complex. The intensity of the speed in change is also a balance within it. And we looked at here and they were talking about intensity and they were talking about 27% of the employees travel monthly. I was gonna say that's a pretty slow pace for most of us here in this room. That was a joke in case you missed it. But it also goes back to how you do interfaces. I think this is very conservative. How often when you call somebody you're actually able to get through or you try to instant message in, how often do you make the contact? I think it's kind to say that 2/3 of the time it works. But if you begin to think about collaboration, not just one-to-one, but one-to-many to form these groups, your ability to make the connections, do it in a very effective way, has huge efficiencies of opportunities in front of us. So apply what we at first will apply to entertainment, but then use the same concept, because me as a consumer from the entertainment world is exactly what we will do as employees of a company over time. We literally want to gain access to what we want whenever we want it, from whatever location, in whatever format we have available to us. So one time we might watch our entertainment on a TV, the next time we might watch it on a miniature cell phone. That will change a lot quicker than I thought. But it's the ability to implement this across the board that really will change entertainment, but I also think it will change how business users interface. This is why I'm such a big believer in unified communications. The ability to communicate based upon what access the person you're trying to communicate has access to at the device at a point in time, what is their preferred means? There's some of us in this room, my engineers is an example, that will respond very quickly to email. If I send them a voicemail, they might get it in 2 days. There are others that will basically say, you know, I prefer normally voicemail or email, but I'm traveling. I want you to roll over to literally my car phone. Or basically, I'm in New York City or I'm here in Las Vegas, I have access to a different device. So your ability to say what is your preference, your personalization, and to be able to communicate based upon are you online at this time, if so, by what device, your ability to pull together communities together to be able to communicate this way, I think, again, introduces a new level of communications that we're just beginning to understand how this will drive productivity. Think for a moment. In the past, we often associated a given device with a given layer of content or entertainment. And it was literally designed to work one-to-one, a game to a device, if you will. Now what's going to occur is multiple devices and multiple screens sharing the same experiences. And this took me a while to understand, but the more I looked at it, this is why I believe you're gonna have such a huge productivity increase in this area. The ability as you begin to share these experiences at faster and faster pace, personalization, the ability to understand how you prefer to be communicated to, when you prefer to be communicated to, what type of device you're on within that, but how do we personalize it if we were having a chat center between the 7 of us here, and how do we balance within it? Think about it first from an entertainment point of view with video. Then let your mind go and think about it. Why won't this be the way we communicate in our office the same way? Video at first, you had to do it on broadcast. When was the ball game broadcast, or when was the movie broadcast, or when was 24 broadcast? Then you basically said, no, I'm just going to store it. I'll watch it when I want. Please don't tell me about how the basketball game ended up or what occurred on 24, but I'll watch it when ready. Video on demand. Then over time, we began to participate in this. If anybody went to the Final Four, the game was kind of boring in basketball. But the interactivity that was going on, where people were modifying, taking the pictures of literally the Elvis impersonators, occasionally the ball game, a lot of pictures of the UCLA cheerleaders. And then that instant messaging back and forth, but that's going to change. That was probably one person in three, as I was counting throughout the arena, was using this capability, and it was archaic. Think about the entertainment centers for the future. You're going to put web over top of all of it. You'll be able to do immediate downloads of the replays that you want. You'll be able to take snapshots, put your annotation, transfer it to somebody else within the arena or somebody over the internet back at home. You're going to move out of this archaic way of entering data by literally keying in one or two words at a time in instant messaging. You're going to be able to capture it in a more effective way and produce your own content. Probably the future, not within a decade, but in 3 to 5 years. Watch what's going on in Japan already with the baseball games. Watch what Cisco does in the future with arenas of the future. But the same thing will occur at work. I used to think this would be top down. I communicate video on, at first, a broadcast, people watch it. Then it was video on demand. I got to see how many people watched it for how long. Then we begin to interact back and forth. You watch the video on demand when you want it, often at home, which I love. And then you'd give me feedback back on what did you agree with or not. And then over time, this would be a collaboration. But that will occur at each employee's desktop or virtual desktop over time. So when you talk about productivity, this is why I'm so optimistic about the future. And you begin to think, just like you saw in the airlines industry, how we might view how we as a financial institution primarily loan money or take money in or have physical security boxes, to how all of a sudden this changes dramatically. How we move perhaps into advertising as you're sitting there withdrawing money out of an ATM machine. How you take the physical security box and think of it as a virtual security box for storing not only your electronic documents with a brand that you trust, but also your photos and other things. And so you suddenly begin to see much more complex environment with the lines between industries blurring, between what used to be retail sales and financial industry and banking suddenly blurring together. The ability on video on demand really begins to take off. And how quick this ramp occurs, that will probably, in my opinion, be a conservative ramp. Time will tell if that's right or wrong. IPTV over the same network. The ability literally to think about how this is going to grow in this country and otherwise at a faster pace. This is why I think the definition of broadband is changing. If I want a telepresence capability from the home and I want 4 or 5 high-definition TV channels coming in at the same time, the ability to watch replays and to communicate with my family across the country in North Carolina, thinking about that being the future, our current definition of broadband is probably not an accurate one. But the ability to anticipate where this market goes and get there way before it becomes obvious. In our industry, if you're not in the first 5 to market with a product that works, you almost never become number one. So in areas such as IP telephony or in areas such as security or in areas such as routing or switching, we're in pretty good shape. But when we moved in this market in the home, we acquired Linksys, 50% market share in the home marketplace. We then acquired Scientific Atlanta because video is an art. It's not a science. It is really hard to make work in mass volumes. And then we acquired KISS to be able to put electronic capability into the devices in the home. And again, time will tell if this plays out the way that we think it will, but it requires you to do that connected home architecture in ways that others cannot. Now, if this does play out that way, it's too late by the time you say, hey, this is what I want 2 to 3 years from now. If you already haven't got the architecture pretty close, be able to implement it with the same security from home if you're coming into your enterprise network as you have in the enterprise network. And the same security, not just off the PC, but off of every IP device in the home that allows you to do that. And your capability to service those, be you the employer getting you connectivity to the home, like Cisco does with 11,000 VPN capabilities to our home, but also to be able to download or make changes without having to roll a truck, whether it's repairing a TV or other issues. So you build out an architecture and you think about where does this go? Think about security. Last year we talked about Cisco's focus on security, having acquired at that time 15 security companies, now we're up to 17. But more and more taking the basic pinpoint product capabilities out of security, and you know where I'm headed with this, and moving it into the network. and then taking advanced technologies and services and moving them more and more into the network. Again, taking a lot of this area that you had to worry about in your applications or your implementations and embedding in the network, which allow your applications to interoperate more effectively, but also for you to design them in a shorter period of time and to make them more secure. But you've got to go after this with an architectural, not a pinpoint product approach. Now, case in point, think about not Cisco, although I'd love for you to think about Cisco in the next couple of comments, but think about it in every industry. By the time it becomes obvious that security is not pinpoint products, but it has to be in all of the layers 1 through 7 in the OSI stack, and they have to be able to be designed to be embedded in the products, to interoperate, and to adapt to day zero activity, that takes a lot of time to really design in, determine what you put in ASICs, what you put in software, what you put in hardware, how do you get the pieces to interoperate. But that's a decision we didn't have to make a year ago. We had to make 7 years ago and to begin to design it throughout. And it's a similar approach that we took in each segment of the market. The point that I'm making is the industry you're in will face the same type of challenges. By the time your peers all do it, all you do by following is you maintain the status quo. But if you can identify the changes, the role that IP telephony will have, not as a standalone application, but in integration, you can become the number one in that category. Same thing in wireless, same thing in storage area networking, and you know where I'm headed. Again, catching the architectures way before it becomes obvious and build those in through a series of innovations that they blur together, where you won't know the difference between a router and a switch and a security device and a wireless capability, but literally will come together architecturally.